Name of the sermon today is Moolah, Moolah, part two. And you'll see that all of the sermons that we're going to have on Moolah will start the same as we move into the subject for the day. It was the famous Jonathan Swift, satirist and poet, who said a wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. Today we continue the journey to get wise about money in our heads. We're going to immerse ourselves into the Word of God to see what is being said about money. It will be a comprehensive journey as I encourage all of us to bring the finances of our lives under God's authority. Bring your finances under God's authority. Notice Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Notice the meaning in the commentary for who will commit. If you are not faithful in the small matters pertaining to this world, if you do not use aright your property and influence, you cannot expect that God will commit to you the true riches of his grace. Men who are dishonest and worldly and who do not employ the deceitful mammon as they ought cannot expect to grow in grace. God does not confer grace upon them, and their being unfaithful in earthly matters is evidence that they would be also in much greater affairs and would likewise misimprove the true riches. For true riches, we have the graces of the gospel, the influence of the Spirit, eternal life, or religion. The riches, those are the true riches. The riches of this world are false, deceitful, not to be trusted, Luke 16:9. The treasures of heaven are true, faithful, never failing, Matthew 6:19 and 20. Let's look at those verses. Luke 16 and verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, you may receive you into everlasting habitations." Matthew 6:19 through 20, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So God is saying to us that he wants us to be experts in the small matters of the world, as they are the training ground for becoming experts in the true riches of the kingdom of God. This is going to be an ongoing series of sermons. We will not necessarily be doing all of them in a row, but I will be bringing them to you in the coming months as we schedule them. This will be very important training for all of us. We will be dealing with worldly elements, money and finances. From Scripture, God will be giving us a multitude of scriptural principles and concepts to become experts in all aspects of them. What you are going to see is that what we learn through money and finances will impact virtually every aspect of our physical and spiritual lives. So, bring your finances under God's control. Here are the 12 elements in which we are going to immerse ourselves. Right attitudes that we did last time. This week we're doing wrong attitudes. We'll also be looking at credit, giving, family, God's blessings, God's curses, government, investing, planning, restitution, and finally work and wages. So let us continue. Today we will deal with element number two, wrong attitudes. The sub-elements for wrong attitudes we will cover today are love of money, bribes, pride, covetousness, greed, dishonesty, envy, partiality, disobedience, injustice, ego, futility of riches, fear, bad counsel, indulgence, and suing. So quite a few subjects. And what you will naturally happen here is you're going to be overwhelmed. And that is going to be the byproduct of a sermon like this. I'm going to overwhelm you with these sub-subjects and the scriptures that go with them. But that's okay, because this is going to end up being a tool, and primarily a tool for examining yourself. So you're going to use all of these scriptures to go through your life to use it as a yardstick to see how your finances and all of these areas are in your life. If you have a trouble in any one of these areas, you want to overcome it. So let's get into it. Wrong attitudes. And the key verse for wrong attitudes is, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Our first subject is love of money, where money is more important than God. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, this is, lovers of money will never be satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. For one cannot serve two masters. We have Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and mammon. Interestingly, you can deal with mammon before God. And that's what we're learning today and in this series of sermons. For the phrase, how love of riches can prevent one following Christ, we have Mark 10. Mark 10, beginning in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the stake, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So Jesus isn't asking that everybody sell all their possessions. He was doing it specifically to this guy because he perceived in him that he had greater love of his possessions than he did really of following Jesus Christ. Love of money brings temptation. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. Love of money brings temptation. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Again, he's not telling you that it's wrong to have riches. He's telling you that with the riches come temptation and a snare. So if you're a good steward and can you work your way through not falling to temptation and the snare, you're more apt to have more money. Love of money, the root of all kinds of evil, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Lovers of money in description of perilous end times. So we're going to see that some will become lovers of money in the perilous end times. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 2. This, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Our next sub-subject is bribes, the use of money to pervert justice. And there's many ways to do this. And it's not just the typical definition of giving somebody a bribe, but it can be money can be used many different ways to pervert justice. God detests bribes, 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 7. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Nothing wrong with giving gifts, but if you give gifts in the wrong way, to pervert justice or to try to influence somebody, then that's wrong. Commentary for gifts, he accepts not the faces of men, nor receives bribes, nor should his judges. This is forbidden by him. For don't take bribes, we have Job 6:22. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance? The wicked take bribes, Proverbs 17 and verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. So we can see that God does not like this type of action. Bribes pervert justice, Proverbs 29 and verse 4. The king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthrows it. Bribes corrupt. So if you take a bribe, you can become corrupt. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:7, surely oppression maketh a wise man, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Sin, it's a sin to take a bribe. Amos 5 and verse 12, for I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Let's look at the next one, which is pride. Pride. Riches will not save us. Job 36 and verse 19. Clearly a rich man. Will he, God, esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. So God is not a respecter of these things. The wicked are prideful. Psalm 10, verses 2 through 5. The wicked are prideful. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all the enemies, he puffeth at them. Do not boast. Part of pride would be boasting. Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. That's a form of boasting. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So we can never be boastful about what is happening in our lives. God gives and God takes away. God tears down the proud. So we don't want to become prideful because he will tear us down. Proverbs 15 and verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border for the widow. And elsewhere in the Bible, it says God is the God of the widow, caretaker of the widow. The proud are an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 5. You'll notice as we go through each subject, I give them to you in biblical order. So you only have to go one way through your Bible for each subject. The proud are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16, beginning in verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's another way of saying, immerse yourself in the word of God, and your thoughts will be established. Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride bringeth a man low, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So you have some comparisons here between this week's sermon and the last one we had on right thinking. Right attitudes. Our next subject is covetousness. So this is 2D. The numbers that, since we're in the second subject, that's number 2, and then it goes A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so forth. So this is 2D, covetousness, desire for what others have. We will begin with do not covet. Exodus 20 and verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Stay away from individuals who covet. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 and 12. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. The commentary on not to keep company, to be wholly separated and withdrawn from such a person, not to associate with him in any manner. These things tend to rub off the wrong way. The covetous will not be in the kingdom of God. The covetous will not be in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, speaking to first fruits, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 5:5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And clearly, a person who becomes covetous, that whatever he covets becomes his idol. So that's why you see covetous who is an idolater in that verse. The next subsubject, 2E, is greed, the overwhelming desire for more. The greedy blesses his covetous. He wants more. Psalms 10 and verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and bless the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. So the guy that has a lot wants more and more and more. He's fallen into the snare of having the riches, so he wants more and more and more. They never have quite enough. And they've even interviewed people that are in this mindset, and they ask them, well, how much is enough? How many boats can you water ski behind? How many steaks can you eat at a time? And he says, whatever I have, I want just a little bit more. Beware of greed, Luke 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Do not be a rich fool. Notice how that's given. Do not be a rich fool. Nothing wrong with being rich if you're a good steward, but do not be a rich fool. Luke 12, beginning in verse 20, the parable of the rich fool. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And if you read that parable, you'll see that this guy was tearing down his old barns to make bigger barns to put everything into. So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So what you got to do is you can be rich, you can be successful in your finances, but be rich towards God. Avoid greed. Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness and or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So you don't want to do anything where somebody would be looking at you and saying you're coveting after things. That would be somebody in the world looking at you or thinking that about you. Some are motivated by greed, Titus 1. Some are motivated by greed. Got to make sure that's not us. Titus 1, beginning in verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Greed will exploit, 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So if you become greedy, you can get exploited by that. It will lead you right off into vain jangling. So any of these negative attitudes is not a good thing to have. It can lead you into the other ones. So that's why we want to use this as a tool. I have set up each one of these sermons to be a tool, a measuring stick, a checklist for you to go through. Am I having any problem in any one of these areas? And if you do, you take it before God and get rid of it. 2F, dishonesty or perverted in the heart. Do not steal. There's many ways to steal. Leviticus 19 and verse 11. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely. So if you're dealing falsely, that'd be another form of stealing. Neither lie to one another. And if you think about it, lies can be a form of stealing because you're putting the wrong thought into another person's head. You're making them think one thing when the reality is another. So you're stealing from them the reality of the situation. Put lying lips far from you, Proverbs 4 and verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So he's not only giving you a checklist here. You can put God's scriptures together in all kinds of checklists, and this is a checklist on wrong attitudes. He gives you the way out. He's showing you how to do it. So all of these wrong attitudes, just go with Proverbs 4:24. Put these things far from you. Get rid of them. Shred them. Destroy the thoughts of them. God hates a lying tongue. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. God hates a lying tongue. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And of course, you can get the rest of the six by continuing in Proverbs 6. Ill-gotten gains fail. Ill-gotten gains fail. Proverbs 10 and verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So why would God have in this this verse, but righteousness delivereth from death? That means he's therefore, and again, once again, not condemning riches. He's saying that treasures that are gotten, the wrong way will profit nothing. So if you can get them righteously, do not get them unrighteously. You got to make sure you understand that God is not condemning riches here. He's not asking you to be poor. Though, in the next verse we have, he says it's better to be poor in righteousness. Again, he's not condemning riches here. He's just saying that because of the snares of righteousness, if you're not a good steward over there, it's better to be poor in righteousness if you do not yet have the means to be a good steward with riches. Proverbs 28, verse 6, better to be poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So you can be rich, you just can't be perverse in your ways. And if you can't get rid of the perverseness, it's a process to get rid of that. And if you fall in, if you become rich, whatever that means, it's a different thing for different people. Anything can come under the heading of a description of rich. You could win $500 tomorrow, and that would be rich for you for that day. 500 extra dollars, you're rich for a whole day. And you don't want to be perverse in your ways, so you want to be a good steward. What would you do if you got $500 tomorrow? What would you do if you got $10 million tomorrow? The answer to that question will let you know if you'd be perverse in your ways. And you can be a good steward this side of receiving any kind of success, prosperity, or riches. So now is the time to be a good steward. That's what God is having you do here. He wants you to be a good steward before the fact. Otherwise, he may go with the first part of Proverbs 28 and allow you to remain poor in your up in your up in your righteousness, your uprightness. He who covers up his sins shall not prosper. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy and maybe riches. Thieves and those who covet will not enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You can see right away that the same verse can work for different sub-subjects. 2G, envy, or jealousy what others have. And I live in a town where it's very easy to become envious of what other people have. This town has a lot of money in it, a lot of rich people in it, and you can see them just about anywhere you go. Some handle it pretty good, others do not. But you do not want to be jealous over what they have. Psalm 37 and verse 1, for do not be envious of evildoers. A psalm of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. A first fruit can slip if it gets envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Psalms 73, beginning in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So here's a guy, he sees that he's slipping here. I better not be envious of the wicked, because the wicked are foolish. At least at that moment in time, they are. They'll get their chance, won't they? They'll get their opportunity to see that they've been foolish. Do not envy sinners. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You can see where these headings are coming from. They're coming right out of the verse. So this is the perfect point scripture, where the point is coming from the scripture. Do not fret over evil men. Do not be envious of them. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward for the evil man. That means the end product. So we're not talking about anybody who's ever been evil. We're talking about if his end product is that he's an evil man, he can't be in the kingdom. There's no reward for a person who's end product after he's had the opportunity. If he's evil, he's not going to be in the kingdom. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Put aside envy. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Put aside envy. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Again, he's telling you what to do here, isn't he? So all these wrong attitudes, put them aside. Leave them behind you. Shred them. Destroy them. Let them have no power in your brain. 2H. Partiality, or giving unreasonable favor to somebody. Do not judge unjustly. Psalm 82, verses 2 through 4. Do not judge unjustly. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Again, he's showing you the way out here. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Partiality is wrong. Got a couple of verses here. Proverbs 24 and verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have a respect of persons in judgment. And Proverbs 28 verse 21. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. 2I, disobedient, ignoring God's direction. So what's happening in the sermon today? You're getting a lot of instruction on how to avoid wrong attitudes. Last time, you got lots of admonition and commands from God on having right attitudes. So this is your contrast to that last sermon. Disobedient, ignoring God's direction. Listen to and obey God. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So we always want to be checking ourselves to see if we're in obedience and being loyal to God. The results of disobeying God are not good. Second Chronicles 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You don't want to have this. Disobedience results in God not hearing our prayers. So anytime a person has a question, well, I don't think God is hearing my prayers, you want to go through a checklist to make sure you're not doing anything that would result in him not hearing. Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. More results for those refusing to obey God. Proverbs 15 and verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. I love the word reproof because we're continually being reproved. It's very easy to take a step in the wrong direction, but we're constantly, as we stay immersed in the Word of God, as we keep moving forward in the salvation process, we're continually being reproved. You take one step wrong, God is there to reprove you and get you walking back straight. 2J, injustice, or taking unfair advantage. It would be like insider trading in the stock market. It would be an injustice. You hurt people when you do that. Do not do injustice. Psalms 82 and verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? By the way, that word Selah has a lot to do with the end time. If you do any study on the word Selah, you find out that wherever in the Bible that you see Selah, and I studied the word for a long, long time, the best description I've got for why the word Selah is in certain places is that whatever the verse is before you see the word Selah, it's a description not only of how life is on earth, but it will increase in this way in the perilous end times. So how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? You may see more of that as times get worse. Remember to show mercy. Psalm 109 and verse 16. Because he remembereth not to show mercy, but persecuteth the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. So remember to show mercy in all areas of your life, emotionally, financially. What good is gain if there is injustice? Proverbs 16 and verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. The outcome is not good for those who mock the poor or are glad at the calamities of another. Proverbs 17 and verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. You know why this is, don't you? Because those people that you might have something against, I mean, maybe they're evil persons and something is happening to them, a calamity comes down, and well, he deserved it. You got to remember, this is a person who belongs to God and will have his opportunity for the salvation process. So he might be evil now and a calamity comes up on him, and you are mocking that, you're glad at the calamity that he's going through, it's understandable that you would have that feeling, but check it, because that person has not yet had his opportunity for salvation. So God is looking not at the way he is now. He's letting him have that calamity to teach him a lesson for later, whenever he does call him. And most of these unjust people that are having calamities on the in this world will be called in the second resurrection. Do not oppress the poor, Proverbs 22 and verse 16. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. That's another bribery there going on. He that giveth to the rich. Why would you want to give to the rich when the poor are standing there needing your help? That doesn't mean you can't give anything to them, but if you give it to them, what is this sermon about? Wrong attitudes. 2K, ego, the self-elevating attitude. I've seen ego take people right out of God's church. So these wrong attitudes, if unchecked, can lead a person either into vain jangling, which will lead him out of the church, or directly right out of the church. And they don't even know it. I've seen people that have been so full of ego, they find themselves outside the church and they still think they're the right one. Do not brag. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Another way of saying, take heed lest you fall. Being rich can lead to ego. Proverbs 28 and verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searches him out, searches God out. So if you want to be a rich man, keep seeking God out. If you are whatever rich is to you, if you're ever rich, put that richness, if you want to talk about assiduity, putting everything into the hands of God, put that richness, put that prosperity, put that money, those possessions into God's hands and let him lead you to the best stewardship of those items. God gives us warning on being egotistical. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So you see there, he's not condemning a man who is wise. He's not condemning the mighty man. He's not condemning riches. He's saying, don't let a man glory in his wisdom. Do not let a man glory in his mightiness. And do not let a rich man glory in his riches. See, it's the attitude. It's not the item being discussed. Do your giving in secret, which is a very interesting subject, which we could talk about at length, and it has everything to do with attitude. Do your giving in secret, Matthew 6, verses 3 through 4. But when thou doest alms, do not let the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. This is talking about an attitude. If you read through Matthew 6, you'll see that God does not like people that make a show of it. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with you sharing with somebody something you've done, because there is a glory in that. If you do it in the right attitude, you can share the fact that something was done. You don't have to take the credit, but you can share the fact that somebody has received a blessing. Maybe you were the catalyst, maybe you were the means by which that blessing was given. There's a way to share the glory of what that person is now experiencing without having the wrong attitude. And so God takes it in Matthew 6, he couches it in a way that is the safest. But this would not preclude you sharing the story that somebody was blessed if the focus is on the blessing and the thankfulness is to God and the glory is to God. Do you see how that works? There is a distinction there. So I wouldn't want anybody to withhold from me or to anybody the fact that somebody was blessed or something good was done. We even share videos of people doing good to others, but you can see in those videos where we see somebody giving a hotel maid, you know, $200, are we somehow going against Matthew 6 and doing this? Well, no, for one thing, it wasn't me and it isn't you that's giving that person $200, but we're sharing in the glory that somebody's doing good, especially a nebulous person that we don't even know. We see somebody giving this hotel maid $200. What a wonderful thing. We glory in the blessing that the hotel maid is getting. She's getting $200 from a nice guy. And we're not patting the guy on the back so much as we're giving glory to God. And if you watch a lot of these guys that do the pay it forward and this type of thing, they're giving all the glory to God anyway. That's they're being motivated by right attitudes in their giving. And the fact that you get to see that in a video is a good thing. But when it comes to you, if you feel that you're having a problem in this area, that you might be crossing the line into putting the focus on you doing the giving, that would be wrong. You want to put the glory on God, and you want to share the smile on the face of the person receiving the blessing. Be not high-minded, going right along with what we just had, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 2L, futility of riches. Futility of riches. This is recognition, you having the recognition that riches are temporary. The bad attitude would be that you think riches are going to help you in some way. Riches often get left to others. Psalm 39 and verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Psalm 49 and verse 10, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Interesting, we sometimes see in the Bible where the person is giving the inheritance before they die, which is a very nice attitude. They're actually giving of their riches even before they die. They don't wait until they die to have those riches go to others. They give away those riches or a portion of those riches, usually as we see it, to family members before the fact. They do it. They practice their stewardship even in the giving of their inheritance and passing on those riches. Trust not in riches. Psalm 62 and verse 10. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. See, if riches increase, see, he's not condemning you. He's not saying nobody I know is going to get rich. No first fruits are going to get rich. It's not going to happen. He doesn't say that. He says, if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. So what is he really wanting you to do there? He's wanting you to be a good steward before the fact. If you're ever wondering, well, does God ever give riches to people? Again, however you define riches. I can show you how to get rich without increasing your income. If you want to know how to do that, drop me an email. I'll show you how to get rich without increasing your income. God, that it all comes under the heading of stewardship, and we've talked about that subject. Riches will not profit in the day of wrath. Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Because that righteousness is going to make you have right attitudes. It's going to make you be thinking the right way, no matter what happens in the day of wrath. Trust in riches and you shall fall. So God's making it very clear here. Trust in riches and you shall fall. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. The riches aren't going to make him fall. It's the trusting in the riches is going to make him fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. That sounds like success to me. What is the advantage of gaining much riches if one falls from the faith? Luke 9 and verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? He's talking about a person, a first fruit, who is allowing riches or anything to distract him from the salvation process or to lead him out of it. There's, you know, anybody who falls from the salvation process, something led him there. You know, people just don't wake up one day and they're gone from the process. Another process kicks in. Some kind of a process, a negative process that leads them out. Where do you think they start? They start in wrong attitudes. And this is a sermon about wrong attitudes about money. 2M, fear. Fear. Anxiety weighs the heart down. Ever worry about money or finances? Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And Psalm 38 and verse 6, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. So what's happening is when you have fear, it starts affecting your mind, it starts affecting your body, that all that stooping down, that's affecting your health. And as they say, if you have your health, you have everything. 2N, bad counsel, listening to wrong advice. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There was a time in my life I wanted to be a professional chess player. I had to give it up because of the Sabbath. But one thing I learned when I was learning chess and wanting to be at a high level of proficiency, they said, never play with inferior players. They will pull you down. If you want to be a good chess player, continually play with the best players in the world. Play against the best computers in the world. That's how you improve your game. So it says here, if you walketh with the wise, you shall become wise. But companion of fools shall be destroyed. In all areas of your life, always go to the best counsel. Depart from the fools. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That's using righteous judgment there. You have to use righteous judgment to perceive if this guy's lips are not coming forth with right knowledge. Avoid angry people. Now, this you could extend, say, avoid all kinds of people with negative attitudes. Proverbs 22, beginning at verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You see all this thing about counseling? Quotes on counsel. Do not follow any advice, no matter how good, until you feel as deeply in your spirit as you think in your mind that the counsel is wise. That means you're going to have to double check everything you heard in this sermon. But this is a pretty good sermon when it comes to point scripture, because whatever the point is came from the scripture, so the proof of the point is in the scripture. But the admonition remains. Do not follow any sermon, no matter how good, until you've proven it. Another one from Anne Frank. How true Daddy's words were when he said, all children must look after their own upbringing. Parents can only give good advice or put them on the right path. But the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. That's another way of going to the Bible study that we had last night. God offers you all kinds of solutions, but you must partake of them. So here, Anne Frank is saying her daddy, who I met, by the way, gave good counsel to his daughter, but then said, with all this counsel that I give you, you're going to have to make your own way. So get all the best counsel you can, and even God is saying this, get all the good counsel you can, and that will form your ways and your procedures. Going back to having met Anne Frank's father, he toured the United States, so if you're around my age, you may have seen Anne Frank's father too. He went around to all the grade schools for a number of years talking about his daughter. This is why we constantly preach, get all the information you can and get all the counsel you can. Now that's a main underlying principle of the doctrine on healing. Don't believe everything you hear. Get all the best information you can and get all the best counsel you can. Especially important when it comes to diet, health, exercise. That's why from the pulpit, we cannot preach about diet and exercise and these type of things. We would be one counselor. We can teach you principles about exercise and diet. We can talk about foods in the Bible, but when it comes down to diet and exercise and anything to do with the medical professions, you've got to get all the best information you can and get all the best counsel you can. 2-0, indulgence, surplus to the point of waste. Don't love pleasure over God. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Again, nothing wrong with oil, nothing wrong with wine. It's he that loveth it too much. We're talking about overindulgence. We're not talking about balance. So keep that in mind. I don't want anybody thinking that something is being condemned here other than the wrong attitude. It's not the wine. It's not the oil. It's the wrong attitude about wine and oil. Drunkenness and gluttony lead to poverty. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man in rags. So there's nothing wrong with the liquor. There's nothing wrong with food. He's not saying give up all inebriating drinking and give up all food because you'll come to poverty. No, he says a drunkard has a wrong attitude about liquor. He's allowing himself to be drunkard. And by the way, drunkard doesn't mean you have a buzz on. It doesn't mean today you drank enough that you would be breaking the law to drive your car. A drunkard is a person who is constantly entering into a lifestyle in which he's getting drunk. And we're not even going to enter into the area of being an alcoholic or having a sickness in that area or an addiction in that area. We're talking about a person who is purposely going out to get drunk. So we're not talking to, so if you've been drunk once in your life, you're not a drunkard. There's a difference between being drunk and being a drunkard. And it has to do with attitude. Exercise self-control, Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Overindulgence is not good, Proverbs 27 and verse 7. A full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Quotes on overindulgence. The proximity of the desirable thing tempts one to overindulgence. On that path lies danger. So again, you have to be a good steward. If riches are close to you and you have that kind of proximity to riches, and riches might be a desirable thing, it can tempt you. You can get a wrong attitude about it. It would take you to riotous living or overindulgence. Same thing with liquor, same thing with food, same thing with exercise, same thing with a whole lot of things. That the proximity to any, it says, desirable thing can lead to overindulgence. You have too much chocolate. Somebody says, I'm going to give you a lifetime supply of chocolate. Well, the first thing you better think about is, I better not overindulge. 2P, suing, taking another first fruit to court. Do not sue another first fruit. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 8. Dare any of you, having a manner against another brother, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints, meaning you should be doing a Matthew 18. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you should judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? This goes back to our original verse, doesn't it? And dealing, you've got to be a good steward of the small things if you think you're going to have the great things. Verse 4, if then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you? Question mark. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? Question mark. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You're going to take a brother in the church before a court that's full of unbelievers and think you're going to get justice? Verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with the other. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Rather than going after a brother in the faith, go to this verse, 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So study these points. This was not really a sermon. This was a reading of a checklist, putting it on tape to help you study it. So study these points that you have heard this day. This is where this checklist is going to help you. Not my reading of it. That's not going to help you. It's you studying these points you have heard this day. Meditate on them. Examine yourself against them. Bring your finances under God's authority.